Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 21. Swarnayita gra vasu hema kara shetreshu yogaistad abhigya apnuyat Ketreshu deheshu tatatma gyogar Adhyatma vid brahma gatim labeta Swarnam, gold. Yata, just as. Gravasu, in the stones of gold ore. Hema Kara, the expert who knows about gold. Kshetreshu, in the gold mines. Yogai, by various processes. Tat Abhigya, an expert who can understand where gold is. Apnuyat, very easily obtains. Kshetreshu, within the material fields. Deheshu, human bodies and all the rest of the 8,400,000 different bodily forms. Tata, similarly, Atma Yogai, by spiritual processes. Atmavit, one who is expert in understanding the distinction between spirit and matter. Brahmagatim, perfection in spiritual life. Labheta, may obtain. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can obtain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Purport. Here's a good example concerning spiritual understanding. Foolish rascals, including so-called gyanis, philosophers, and scientists, cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body because they are lacking in spiritual knowledge. The Vedas enjoin, Tad Viganartam Gurum Eva Abhigachet. To understand spiritual knowledge, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Unless one has been trained in geology, one cannot detect gold and stone. Similarly, unless one has been trained by a spiritual master, he cannot understand what is spirit and what is matter. Here it is said, Yogais Tad Abhigya. This indicates that one who has connected himself with spiritual knowledge can understand that there is a spirit soul within the body. However, one who is in an animalistic conception of life has no spiritual culture and cannot understand. As an expert mineralogist or geologist could understand where there is gold and can thus then invest his money to dig there and chemically separate the gold from the ore, an expert spiritualist can understand where the soul is within matter. One who has not been trained cannot distinguish between gold and stone. Similarly, fools and rascals who have not learned from an expert spiritual master what is soul and what is matter cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. To understand such knowledge, one must be trained in the mystic yoga system Or, finally, in the Bhakti Yoga system, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhakti Mam Abhijananti. Unless one takes shelter of the Bhakti Yoga process, one cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita begins by teaching, Dainosmin nita dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dahantara praptir diryas tatra namuyati. As the invited soul continually passes in this body, from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul simply passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2:13. Thus, the first instruction is that one should understand that the soul is within the body and is transmigrating from one body to another. This is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. Any person who is not expert in understanding this science or is unwilling to understand it remains in the bodily conception of life or the animalistic conception of life as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, yatma buddhi kunape trita duke sa eva gokara. Every member of human society should clearly understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. For only in this way can one be spiritually elevated and automatically give up the false illusory knowledge by which one thinks, I am this body and everything belongs to this body is mine, aham bhameti. This doggish conception should be rejected immediately. One should be prepared to understand the spirit soul and the supreme soul, spirit, God, who are eternally related. Thus one may return home back to Godhead having solved all the problems of life. Sarvanamita grahaveshu hemakara shetreshu yogaistara vijna apunat apnuyat shetreshu deheshu tatma yogair adhyatma vid brahma kathim labeta. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spirit particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can obtain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge can understand how the spirit exists within the body. So here the analogy is that if you don't know that there is gold in a mine, then you won't bother looking for it. And if you're looking for it and you don't know how to get the gold out of the mine, you're not going to get any gold. So it takes two things. One is to know that there is gold, and then to know how to find the gold and extract it. Similarly, if one doesn't know that we're a spiritual soul within a material body, then one will not look to extract the soul from material existence. And even if one knows that one is a soul within a material body, if one does not know how to realize the soul, then it'll also be a waste of time. So therefore in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ukranvantam sitim vapi bhunjana vagunanditaha vimudo nana pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. Ukramantam. So kramam means actually a step, like Ukrama, who had a big step. Uru means big or amazing, and krama means step. So ukramantam sitim vapi. Sitim means situated. So the foolish person cannot understand how the living entity is situated in the material body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of material nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So, everything depends upon being trained with knowledge. That is, develop a different vision. Just like before you extract the gold from the gold mine, you have to know that there is gold in the gold mine. You may not see it directly, but you can see it by various means. They may have some test or something that determines, yes, right here in this gold mine, there is gold. So they can see it directly or indirectly. Now, at first, they see it indirectly. unless you have some special mystic vision and you look into the mind, you see gold everywhere, even in the aura. But most people do not have such mystic vision, but they have some vision by which they can understand that there is gold in the mind, and then they started extracting. But the foolish people, they have no vision. Therefore, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, they're foolish, lost to themselves, etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmana na buddhaya pravant yuga karmana shaye jagatom hita. Thus, lost to themselves, etam drishtim, which means they have no vision. Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmano na buddhaya. Those who believe that there is no spirit, there's no God, there's no foundation, there's nothing in control, everything is just going on by accident. So having such a vision and loss to themselves, in other words, if we deny that there is a God, and we deny ourselves as a spiritual being, then we're even lost to ourselves. And what would be the result is that they'll create horrible, unbeneficial works, which are ultimately meant to destroy the world. In other words, if we think the whole universe has come about by accident and everything's, you know, more or less disorganized and that it's up to us to organize it, when you take perfection and you try to change it, you don't get more perfection, you get disorganization, you get chaos. If you take perfectly ordered things and you try to rearrange them according to your own idea, then the result is that you get simply create problems for yourself and others. Just like they've taken water, and water is perfectly all right, but they decided to add so many chemicals to it to make it better. They think, oh, there's no God, this is just plain water. We have to add fluoride, chloride, everything, you know, add our chemical factory to it. And then people will get some taste from it, for all our nice chemicals we add. Otherwise, it's just fresh water. So, one has to be able to understand, have some proper vision, and then one has to know how to utilize that vision. But, vimudo nana pashanti, people who are in the Bali concept of life, who don't study Bhagavad Gita, they actually believe that as their body is changing, that they're also changing. Now, it is extremely difficult to convince someone who has no pious credit that such an obvious fact that when their body changes, that they're not changing. It's very difficult to convince them. Why? Because they're under the spell of the modes of material nature. The modes of material nature will not allow them to understand the philosophy. They may believe that they know everything, and therefore there's no need to hear from Bhagavad Gita. Why should I hear from this old book? Usually they pick up the Bhagavad Gita, they hear Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, Samaveda Yuyutsavaha, and they think, oh, too much Sanskrit, and they put it down. And they look at, you know, observing the army in the battlefield, Kuru Kshetra, forget it, you know. So, and then they hear the first verse, even if they get up to the first verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Deinos Minita Dehe, you think, what is this? My body's changing and I'm not changing. Boyhood to youth to old age. They cannot understand anything. They can't see. Vimudo nana pashanti, pashanti jnana chakshusha. One has to have eyes trained in knowledge. In other words, unless they take shelter of someone who knows, then for them, all they can look at, you know, just like sometimes we read the Bhagavad Gita, or many times we read the Bhagavad Gita, and we put the book down, and we have no idea what we read, because we didn't hear anything. And we don't really care about hearing anything. We're just happy we got through the verse. And then we declare it doesn't mean anything. Because it doesn't mean anything, because we never heard anything, therefore we don't know what it means. So similarly, people may hear, but they can't hear. They can't hear because they don't have the intelligence to hear. They don't have the experience to hear. Therefore, it makes no sense to them. If it wasn't on the radio, if they didn't see it on television, if they didn't read it in a magazine, it doesn't exist. So how they think this can be true, they never taught me in school. It definitely was, you know, some religious fanatic wrote this, and the language that he probably doesn't understand either. Therefore, one has to come in contact with devotees, and then if they're a little pious, have the devotee explain it to them. Yes, you're, what Krishna is saying here is that your body is changing. And if people won't accept that, then go on to the next person. Because if people don't know that their body is changing, what else are they going to be able to understand? As I said, I was sitting in a room one time with Srila Prabhupada talking to one Indian gentleman, and Prabhupada was trying to explain to the Indian gentleman that the Vedas are like your mother. But he was an Indian gentleman, so he understood that, you know, the Vedas could be like my mother, you know, sure, why not? That my mother told me that the Vedas are my mother, so I accept it. And he said that the Vedas say that Krishna is your father. That he couldn't, it just went in through one ear and out the other. He said, just like if your mother, if you want to find out who your mother is, you have to find out from your father. There's the authority to find out who your father is your mother. If you don't, if your mother doesn't tell you who your father is, then you won't know. He couldn't understand. So Prabhupada said, again, he said, if you want to know who your father is, you have to ask your mother. So if you want to know who the Supreme Father is, you have to ask the Vedas. And they say the Supreme Father is Krishna. And still he could not understand. So Prabhupada repeated the same thing three times. He didn't start going to another philosophy. In other words, you know, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th verse, 2nd chapter, you know, and then cite a really long Sanskrit verse. And no, Prabhupada realized, if you can't accept something as simple as if you want to find out who your mother is, or father is, you have to ask your mother. If you can't understand that, then what else are you going to understand? You can't understand 1 plus 1 is equal 2, and yet you want to understand, you know, advanced algebra. So the first thing to understand is something simple, like the body's changing, but I'm not changing. And that might spark some interest in order to realize it. It's not just by hearing it we realize it. We may realize it to some extent, but the illusory energy is not so benevolent that all you do is have to hear it once and think I've heard it. Actually, if we could hear it once, we'd realize it. But we can hear it because our intelligence is not so sharp that we can actually hear it and understand it. There is all kinds of modes of material nature that are lying within our heart that we're just not aware of. And if we don't understand it, we think, well, it's not my fault. It must be the fault of the book. Must be something wrong with the instruction. So Krishna doesn't stop with Deno Smita Dehe Kamaram. Then he tells us, Tadvid Viginartam, Tadvidi Prani Purtena Pare Parashnena Sevaya Upade Shanti Te Gyanam Gyaninas Tatvidarshana. If we want to learn these truths, that we're eternal souls, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if we want to learn these, then we have to go to the authority that tells us the process of uncovering the truth. Once you find out there's gold, then you have to find the process of uncovering the gold. If you want to find out the truth, if you want to realize the truth that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, then we have to follow the process. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, the process is the here and the simple succession. And ultimately, the real spiritual master is Krishna. And Krishna is explaining that one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciple succession from the Lord himself, and such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender without false prestige. In other words, if we think we already know everything and out of simply, you know, some formality, I'm approaching this person and asking them, whether it be Shiksha Guru or Shiksha Guru, it doesn't really matter. And you think, well, I know everything. Then you know, you can't learn anything because you already think you know this knowledge. Now, the spiritual, you think, as that in that boat example, the learned scholar was on the boat and he was hearing, he's asking the boatman, he said, "Mayor boatman, look in the sky, do you see those clouds? Do you know what they are?" And the boatman said, "No, I don't know what they are." He said, "You've never studied, you know, whatever the science is of studying clouds, cloudology or something." He said, "No, I never studied cloudology." He said, "If 25% of your life is wasted." And then he was saying, "Do you see that bird over there?" He said, "No, I can't see the bird." "Well, anyhow, look at the, oh yeah, there's a bird. Do you know what kind of bird that is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, 50% of your life is wasted." And then it started to pour and rain and the boat was about to go under. And he said, "My dear scholar, do you know how to swim?" He said, "No." He said, "Then 100% of your life is wasted." So we may know so many sciences, we may have so many degrees, we may think we know, you know, we've done accomplished so much in this world, and therefore there's no need to learn this by humble surrender. One should serve the spiritual master like a humble servant. The whole modern society is meant to teach us, don't bow down. As Boy George was singing his song, those, you know Boy George? He's a brother of Boy Joe. Now Boy George was a singer. I guess his fame didn't last. And he had a song called "Bow Down, Mister." You never heard that? "Bow down, Mister." Some people don't want to bow down. They won't even bow down. What to speak of hearing submissively? If you go, people sometimes walk into the temple, they see the devotees bowing down, they go, "What's happening?" Maybe they lost something on the ground. Everyone's looking for it. Where is it? That's the only way they get down also. Where is it? They think it's a gas. They've lost their prestige. They've lost, you know. What do they call that kind of prestige? Their self-esteem. They've lost their self-esteem. It's been taken away. Now they're groveling on the ground before this. "Oh, help me. I'm helpless." So they don't understand that before you can learn something, you have to have the proper attitude. So going down the ground is not just a yoga exercise, although it is a yoga exercise. It's a good stretch. If you don't get anything else, at least you get a good stretch. But that's not the point is to develop the proper attitude. So with the proper attitude, then we can hear, and if we hear, then we can understand at least what is the process of realization, of which becoming humble is the beginning. And then, but it's also not just humility, it's service. It's putting to practice how to act as a spirit soul. Just as Prabhupada writes in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, not by simply understanding that we're a spiritual soul can one actually obtain perfection. One has to act like a spiritual soul. So one has to learn the art of acting like a spiritual soul, and then Krishna will reveal to us who we actually are, who he is, what this material world is, how we become entangled, how the material nature is binding us. And when we can see these, when Krishna gives us the intelligence, then gradually it says that the influence of the three modes of material nature gradually ceases. We shouldn't think one day I'm going to wake up and everything's going to be clear. It's some miracle. We have to follow the process. And as Krishna sees our sincerity, then gradually he'll reveal these things to us. But if we don't believe there's a process, or if we do believe there's a process, but we don't follow the process, then how are we going to expect that Krishna is going to reveal anything to us? Then we remain in the same, at least theoretical level of consciousness, or at worst, no consciousness, simply animal consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Pranipatena. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.